Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
And welcome to the Deep Dive. We have a million things to talk about, Andy. This is going to be a great episode. I'm excited about everything that's going on in the world of sports right now. We got March Madness in absolute full swing. Craziest weekend that I can remember in the books, rounds one and two. Just unbelievable entertainment. We have tennis, our first tennis masters in the book. We have another one on the horizon starting tomorrow. NBA playoffs are on the horizon as well. And the matchups that we are looking at here between the different playoff seedings are just outstanding. And I'm excited about the world of sports and the world of sports betting. Let's handicap this stuff. What do you say? How you doing this beautiful sports time of year?
I'm struggling a little. I actually got quite a bit of sleep. But boy, they had, you know, just anytime you're gambling, the drinks are free. And usually I take it a little easier when the when we're just watching games, but they had some really good drink specials at the bar we spent a lot of time at. And then there's a dispensary right across the street.
Oh boy. It is totally. It's a brave new world in Las Vegas these days with the old dispensaries so readily accessible.
Catch up the audience. 100-yard walk to the dispensary from the Palms place.
Oh, so good. To catch up the audience, you are in recovery mode right now from your trip out to the desert for rounds one and two. I hope it was an awesome trip. I'm very jealous. I ended up having some pretty great skiing conditions, so I can't be too sad. I had an amazing weekend myself, but I did. I feel like I did miss out on some crazy shenanigans in the desert. How was your weekend?
Good. I wish I would have bet on the right teams more often, but we had some nice wins. I had a nice 8-team money line parlay get destroyed by Tennessee with the Loyola basket that knocked around four times and fell in. I was a 10-to-1 ticket.
Oh, on,
that fell on that one. Everything else came through. I mean, it was EPL soccer, tennis. There was some MLS soccer in there, a bunch of basketball. Everything came through except the frickin' Volunteers.
Unbelievable. Let me ask you about
that. But it was, you know, still, it's fun chasing a ticket like that all day.
Oh, no doubt. Let me ask you about some of your, I have a soft spot for the lotto tickets, man. That's my, if you're not going to have fun doing this, like, what are you doing? Did you have a UMBC ticket by chance?
No. And not only that, but I may have passed out and I didn't even watch the game. No. I woke up and there was some texts ESPN was just on in the room and I'm like, huh?
What? No.
I kind of had to shake the cobweb. You know how you are when you first wake up from
it was a crazy outcome, but it wasn't very dramatic.
Coors Light and edible nap.
Yeah. That's man. Yeah, the edibles will do you. Dude, yeah, they'll do you good.
Yeah, the first time we went over there, we were about 15 beers deep of the day, too. So, So the whole recommended how many to eat, that got thrown out the window. And then,
oh, right.
Well, yeah. this is where I'm at today.
Yeah. The best advice if you're out there experimenting with edibles is eat less than you think you should and do it on an empty stomach, and you'll get the best experience, in my opinion. But that's just one man's opinion. Did you have any of the big upset tickets? You were talking about buying, taking money lines out on 12 through 15. Did you have Buffalo money line?
We forgot to do it from the get-go. And then I'm like, well, I'm not going to start now after the Buffalo game. So I stayed off it.
You get Marshall?
No. I stayed off it. I don't think – I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to have to do a little digging. I'm not 100% sure it made money this year. The big one was 16. I'm pretty sure I would have lost money doing it this year.
It would have been close. I think if you had put 16 units out, you would have gotten 8 back on Buffalo and about – No, I'm sorry. You would have gotten 4.5 back on Buffalo and about 8 on Marshall. So you would have gotten about 12 back out of 16. So it would have been a small loser. Mostly because the 15 seeds were a total fucking letdown. None of those were even close. I guess Georgia State, there was probably an opportunity. You could have gotten some Cincinnati Live or halftime if you wanted. But yeah, the 14s and 15s were not particularly competitive this year. Did you see, speaking of 14s not being competitive,
well, I
did
the 12s. Usually you can rely on probably one, at least one, if not two, sometimes three 12 seeds that get you some small wins just to kind of keep you afloat. But no 12 seeds. 1-4. I picked a good day to fuck around at the craps table and forget to get those in.
Yeah, your Jackrabbits were the closest, but they let down late. They didn't even cover the spread. That was a bad beat. It was bad. There was bad beats up and down the board.
Souls just leaving bodies on that.
Oh, my God. What was the worst one you saw in person?
The Kansas shot. And honestly, everyone will talk about that, but the under. If you had that under, that might have been the worst beat ever. There was like
awful.
30 points scored in the last 2 minutes.
If that was your big play of the day, you had tuned that game out. You were looking for some other action somewhere else, and then you turn around and see it end that way. My God, that would have been absolutely brutal. That's why I just stay away from totals entirely, because it's so fucking unpredictable in March Madness. There was bad beats up and down. Kansas sticks out. Purdue somehow blowing that cover against Butler was ridiculous.
Was another one.
There was some spectacular stuff.
How about Xavier? I think even second half, it would have been like Xavier minus 5 for the game, up by 12 the entire second half. Not only did they not cover, they somehow lose by 5.
Yeah, Cincinnati was up by 22 for fuck's sake.
Well, but they had that's tough when you run into Nevada.
when you're playing the whole pack,
Nevada does this tricky thing where they are only going to, there's 40 minutes, and they're only going to play about 26 of them, but they never tell you which ones they are. You really gotta guess. Like, they're a live hitting nightmare. It's like the last game of their conference championship. They scored 55 points in the second half against San Diego State and still lost by 15.
Unbelievable. They can
just turn it on and start scoring at will. And they goofed off a little too hard in that one, in that first half, by being down by 25.
Yeah. Yeah, the I didn't realize that Nevada was coached by Musselman, ex-Kings and Warriors coach. He's a real deal, man. His defense was unbelievable. Like, I was really impressed. When they needed it, they were able to really just completely kick into a new gear. Let's start there.
He was also a Minnesota Timberwolves assistant.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was. He was assistant in Atlanta. He was all around the NBA. He's coached a lot of places. You think Nevada's got a good shot here against Loyola? Loyola, Chicago.
Yeah, this is gonna be my favorite matchup. Futures aside,
they are definitely the Cinderella left. The only double digit seed in the Sweet 16. 11 seed Loyola, buzzer beater win. Although it didn't get counted as a buzzer beater against Miami round one. And then, like you mentioned, that upset over Tennessee was really something. What do you think heading into this this matchup here against the Wolfpack? Do you think this is the story carries on here?
One of them does. I have no idea. I probably will not bet this game unless I do hedge a little on a Nevada future. But, boy, this is the one I'm going to absolutely not miss. I'm probably going to watch them all. Never mind. But I am very excited for this one. It's on the 22nd. So,
yeah.
Sidebar.
This is the kickoff of the whole weekend.
Sidebar, my in-laws take us on vacation every other year or so. And they planned a Turks and Caicos trip. So I leave now, like after we record this, for that. So I've been home just a lot, time to catch up some emails, record a podcast, do some laundry, and travel with two small children after a Vegas trip. So if they survive. The joke was it's me, the wife, and the two, a three, and a 6-year-old. So the joke was I needed to win a shitload of money in Vegas, not tell my wife, and then buy myself first class upgrade at the gate, and just kind of hide from them.
Oh, dude.
Oh, and just drink some champagne.
Oh, but that, man.
Turns out I wasn't that good at sports betting, craps, blackjack, paygao, roulette, and other things.
Oh, man. That's incredible. So,
that's the other part. So that's where I was headed. They better have CBS down there.
Oh, and dude, TBS. I'm sure. Turks and Caicos has a couple of casinos, if I'm not mistaken.
They do indeed.
Yeah, you'll probably get 2 weekends in a row living life in a smoke filled free drink heaven, man. That's pretty incredible. Very cool. Well, let's break some of these games down. The first one of the weekend, Loyola Chicago versus Nevada here. You got line opened at 2.5. It's down to 1.5. Even though 59% of bets are coming in so far on the Wolfpack, only a small percentage of the money, which is why you see this drifting in the direction of Loyola Chicago. It's in that range where if you like the upset, you just take the money line. I've seen a couple of the folks that we like to kind of talk college basketball with line up to back Loyola here. What do you think, man? And I guess just overall thoughts, Sweet 16. What are you going to do this weekend? How are you going to bet this?
Well, this is the – I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to go back and look at this wherever the hell I found it, but I'm going to take a good hard look at what the public's doing. I still – never did go take the time and figure out where I read this, but the public fade side and total seems to do pretty well in the second round when everybody there's fewer games. I think maybe that plays a part of it. You know, you couldn't do that kind of outlay in the first round anyway.
The public fade was huge first weekend. Basically every side that got less than about 30%. And this is something that I heard from one of my guys, Matt, who I chat with on Twitter, who keeps up with college basketball pretty closely. He was basically saying that if you found a side that got like 30% or less support, you were undefeated betting sides in the round one and round two. It was like 8-0 or 9-0 or something. So fading the public has been already profitable, very profitable for you this tournament. And let it rip this weekend. I would say the sharp money is on Loyola. I don't know. It's an interesting matchup. Nevada's their ability to come back. I would think they're going to be able to get this done. I would the momentum they have and the scheme that they have on defense, I think is going to be enough to shatter the glass slipper of the Loyola Chicago. What are they, the Huskies? I can't even tell.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Salukis, that's Southern Illinois.
Salukis are the Southern, whatever they are. Yeah, they look like the Huskies. Figure it out. Is it the Wolfpack versus the Wolfpack? I can't really tell. The Wildcats versus the Wildcats is on the top half of the South.
I think they're just the Wolf.
The Wolf, okay. The Wolf versus the Wolfpack.
The Wolves.
Interesting. Maybe. Interesting. Wildcats versus Wildcats.
No, their mascot is that super old lady.
Oh, okay.
Sister.
Super old ladies. Nuns.
Sister Mary Margaret or whatever.
Okay. All right.
I was just going to go with that.
There you go.
And so, I'm tempted to. This seems like maybe it's dumb just because it's a hard recency bias, but. You know, maybe if Nevada gets down by like 15, 20, live bet their money line. It's not just the last two games. They've done that shit all year where they'll get down. They make just weird runs. It's a game of runs, Whale.
This is their MO.
This is
a game of runs. Okay, so
the total is 143 on that total. I could be tempted by that on possibly an over there.
Yeah, it looks like I could see that too. I was joking about the mascot, by the way. They are their true mascot is Lou Wolf, but they're the Ramblers, man. the Loyola Chicago Ramblers.
Oh my God, I heard that so 100 times. I spaced that out. No, I was going with Sister Jean. They're the Sister Jeans.
You got to get some electrolytes, man. Get that brain fired before you go on this vacation. Oh man, I'm feeling.
They are the Ramblers.
I know how this goes. I watched a lot of Kentucky this week.
Me too.
I saw their Davidson game. I saw their Buffalo game. They look fucking good. I am prepared to kind of. I know they're young. I know they've had struggles this year. They have put it together. They are clicking. Calipari is getting a lot out of this team and out of this roster. And I don't think they're stopping between here and the finals, honestly. I don't see anyone on the left side of this field that's stopping Kentucky. And there'll be some close games, probably. They'll have to pull, you know, this is going to be an interesting one against Kansas State. Kansas State's got a pretty impressive defense as well. They like to grind. They like to play a little slower. But Kentucky's going to get out of this bracket, if you have to ask me.
Can you imagine just going through your region, playing a 12, a 13, a 9, and an 11?
It's incredible.
They look good, but they've looked good against, you know, some lower tier teams thus far. We'll see how they look against a Power 5 conference team, although it's not like Kansas State's offense didn't wow me on Sunday.
Oh, boy. UMBC bowed out more.
Did you watch the end of that?
State even won that game. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I had a buddy who was not – he was not doing well on the day. He was just – everything was going wrong, and he had a UMBC plus 10 ticket. Yeah. And there they are at the free throw line. With two up nine, was it up nine with two shots? And I'm like, he's like, Jesus Christ, if I can just get him to miss one, I would take a fucking push right now, you know, just anything. And they missed the one.
I know that feeling, yeah.
And then not only did they miss a second, but they went down and made some garbage shot too. So they end up, that one's completely meaningless, but he missed both shots for him. And it was nice.
Who do you think out of those four teams? Who's coming out? You got a Nevada future, right?
I do, but if it was Kentucky, Nevada, I'd probably pound Nevada because I haven't hedged off Nevada yet.
You mean you pound Kentucky? Okay, so you're pulling.
Yeah. Either way, okay. If it's Wolfpack Wildcats, I'm gonna probably. Hopefully, it's like a. What would you put that at for money line? Three.
No. It's going to be close. No.
What if they beat the shit out of Kansas State, though? I'm worried. I'm always a pessimist of this. So maybe 225.
I don't think they're going to beat the shit out of Kansas State. I think that's going to be a close game. I think Kentucky covers that, but. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think Kansas State covers that, but Kansas State covers that. Kentucky's going to win by like 4 or 5. You're going to see Kentucky at about minus 205, I guess, against Nevada. That's going to be my guess on the line.
You take that.
Yeah.
Bankroll bet.
Yep.
Oh, should we just go straight across to, I mean, let's just skip
let's
that.
Slide down.
Villanova wins through all
no,
that.
No, let's slide down. Oh, let's go in down. Order. Let's go in order for the tournament. Let's talk about the West. My pick to come out of the West was Gonzaga. They're still alive. They got a shot here. I like their chances. They did not play inspiring basketball in round one at all. I thought they actually should have maybe lost to UNCG. But they were a lot better in round two. They really got they were clicking
in first round. Yep.
They were awful in round one. They were clicking though versus Ohio State. Ohio State was a frisky I thought they were a little bit of a frisky dog in that one heading into that matchup, and Gonzaga they found their gear, and I honestly they're the kind of team, and that was the kind of game where you feel like they're kind of playing into their themselves a little bit. You know, they're playing into their form, I do think that here they are now in LA or Pacific Coast. This is they're gonna have the crowd support, I'm guessing, down at the Staples Center, and they're going to get Florida State. Florida State their season is a success, having gotten to this point. At some point, I think in this game, you think, Okay, well, they're just happy to be here. And I think Gonzaga covers in this one. And
worst Seminoles team in a decade, and they got to the second weekend.
Unbelievable. Yeah, seriously. They've had so many better teams in the years who have gotten upset early. And here this team that's 20-11 has managed their way into the Sweet 16. Unbelievable. You could say that about a bunch of teams, actually, which is kind of crazy. And the opposite of Xavier. The Xavier is who they beat. Like, we talked about that on the podcast. Like, what happens when you're the perennial Cinderella and all of a sudden you wake up and you're now the one seed expected to go all the way? And we saw sure shit. They choked hard in that game against Florida State. At the end of that game, who was a Cantor, had the game-tying three opportunity and airballed it. Like, that was classic. Classic. Never been there before, choke. It was
baffling. I mean, essentially, like, I guess without looking too close into their roster, essentially that's like your center.
What are you doing?
I don't care if they're gonna double what's his name, Blewett. Get a guard. Maybe get a guard to shoot that shot. Any guard.
You blew it.
Any of them. Take a guard off the bench. Have him shoot that. Like, I don't know what that was all about. And overtime would have been cool there. We were actually at we had headed downtown for a little bit. I think I was at like the Plaza watching that. That's a really, really chill place. Plus, it's a William Hill book, so we were just walking up and live betting things on the window.
Oh, I love it. What was the highlight of the weekend for you?
Oof, it's hazy.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
The head shop. Okay.
Yeah, no, honestly. The room. I mean, the room was, we found a pretty swank-ass suite with some big wraparound patios.
Oh,
and
cool.
If you know where the Palms is, off the strip, so your whole view is of the strip and the mountains, to the whatever direction that is, the east-west.
East.
So, I mean, that was the views were sick, and the patio was – it was awesome having a patio, first off. You go walk out there into the – it was a little chilly. The weather kind of sucked, but, oh, the room was nice. The Palms was great. We bounced around to a couple other places where some people were, and it's just a lot of good basketball and then a lot of terrible basketball.
Yeah, college basketball can be like that. Gonzaga, let's cross our fingers that they make it to the Final Four. I'm going to be in great shape in a couple of pools that I'm in if we can get the Zags into the Final Four.
Let's A&M, go back. Yeah, let's A&M, start, not bad start either. The upsets, yeah. I mean, just in general, and this touches on A&M, the upsets that we did have, let's say Buffalo over Arizona, UMBC over Virginia, and then A&M over Carolina, even though, you know, it wasn't a first-round upset, but it was a first-weekend upset. Those weren't like, oh, you know, and he hits the shot at the buzzer, and it's a huge upset, and they stayed close the whole game, and this is what, it, you know, came of it. No, they beat the fuck out of those teams.
Yeah, that All was a throttle.
Those were
yeah.
just goddamn blood, like, those were just bloodbaths.
Yes.
I mean, I guess the only one that was like right down to it that was a fun upset was Cuse, Michigan State. But man, A&M just made them look stupid.
Yes.
The Buffalo game, Arizona looked terrible. And
yes.
I was like, Virginia, I've talked about this before, a slow paced team gets behind like that. That's just a tough spot for them to be. And now they get to live in history.
Unbelievable. It was amazing. The A&M, you think they suffer the same fate as Buffalo and UMBC after having an amazing upset like that? Now they're a little bit of a public darling here as an underdog. You think Michigan gets it done? Michigan zags for the West? I really want Texas A&M to win. I did that.
I'm cheering for them, so I got to take a step back and think about I'm cheering for them, but you bought them?
Yeah, I did that Calcutta with CJ and ended up with Texas A&M. And I have them and Duke left. Those are my only two teams left in this Calcutta. But I think I'm probably going to at least make my money back on all that because thanks to Texas A&M getting this far. If Texas A&M gets any more wins, then it's gravy. They they might end up being one of the best values.
You, I thought you just bought Wright State.
That was in Zonas. In Zonas, and that was another.
Oh, there's two Calcuttas. Yeah, I was in two Calcuttas.
How much? Yeah, the Zona one, the big, sell a car? The big money one. I ended up with Wright State for like $400 or something, and they promptly shat themselves as hard as any team shat themselves round one. What was great is there was a bonus payout. If you had the team that got blown out by the largest margin, you get 1% of the pot. 1% of the pot worked out to about $1,300. And so that result came in, and I was like, well, Wright State did not win. That's money's gone. They lost by 26. And I was like, what are the chances that hangs on for the worst blowout of round one? And so that actually was kind of a fun ongoing drama for the whole first 2 days, just kind of watching the blowouts and hoping to hell that they would finish inside 26. It ended up coming down to a three-way tie. College of Charleston lost by 26, and Radford lost by 26 to Villanova. How Radford got within 26 of Villanova, I'll never understand. But they ended up with a three-way tie, so we split $1,300 three ways, and my $400 Wright State play came back as like $425 or something like that. So I got a little 9% ROI.
Congrats on the win.
Thanks to having the biggest blowout. So that was some funny drama. The Siege did a Calcutta, and I ended up with A&M and Duke in that one, is still alive. And A&M, they could make me some big money if they can make the Final Four here. But as we talked about, public is on them. That is kind of the kiss of death. Line opened at -3. It's been bet down to -2.5. We're seeing about 60% of the tickets so far in on Texas A&M. Not a good sign if you're into those sort of indicators. So let's talk about the right side of the bracket. For all the craziness and all the upsets we saw in the left half, the right half is still, you got your ones and twos intact here. You got Texas Tech as a 3 in here. The only wild card really is Syracuse, the 11 seed. I don't know. So hopefully Syracuse doesn't spoil my Duke ticket. I obviously have Duke to win it all at 8-1. Duke winning it all would put me in great position to take home a couple of brackets. Duke looked pretty good. What do you think?
They are not. Yeah, they're right up there with Kentucky and Nova. Real simple. Kentucky, Nova, and Duke have looked great. I don't think
they did. They took care of business.
Maybe Kentucky didn't play the best of teams, and Nova played a 16 and a 9 so far. But I love it when Nova just throat stomps people. Like, they just keep playing. They're not like, oh, we're up by 20. No, we want to be up by 30. I like that team. I hope they do well. I have a future. I think it was like something around +110, 115 for Nova to win the region. So I'll be pulling for them. I think they have a good fighting shot at that. Duke, Syracuse. That's zone on zone fun. Maybe Syracuse has a shot just from Boeheim knowing him so well. I don't know, but I don't know if I can get behind an all out Syracuse upset. I could probably back him against the spread in the ACC region.
Yeah, Duke. Yeah, the 11.5 is a pretty big number for a Sweet 16 matchup.
Seems like a bit much.
I'm going to do a little deep dive before betting this one, just to kind of see how teams that are that highly favored tend to do cover against the spread in this round. There looks to be more public support on Syracuse. There's a little bit of lopsided money in favor of Syracuse here, yet they haven't moved the number, which means the books are taking a little bit of a stand on Duke, which is kind of interesting. Syracuse can't score. And so if Duke kind of just plays loose and relaxed and puts on the afterburners, you know, in the offensive department, this could get out of control here. But you mentioned the familiarity of Boeheim and Coach K with each other's teams. There's been some great Duke Syracuse games over the years, last couple years especially. You remember that game where Boeheim got ejected?
Yeah,
tail end of the game for touch. Did he touch the ref? Did he push a kid?
He
did something crazy. What did he do?
No, you know crazy. I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, if this was in the Carrier Dome instead of Omaha, I think I set the line at Syracuse -8. Just because wild shit happens up there. But no, I will probably back Syracuse with the points. I think the familiarity and just Duke knows what they have ahead of them. I don't know if they'll go all out at the end of the game to try to keep this a big old blowout. I think you could possibly slip in the back doors. Duke just coasts on to try to get the big matchup against Kansas. That'll be a good one.
That's a good point, actually. That's a good.
You got to save something. 2 days later, you might have to play Kansas in Omaha. That is not a long way from Lawrence.
That's a good point.
Or what city I'm trying to think of.
Yeah. Boeheim and Kay were co-coaches on USA Basketball, if I remember right, too. There are a lot of things that could tip in the way of Syracuse getting a cover here. But yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on the what happens with this line movement, especially, as an indicator. Kansas, Clemson, you mentioned, any surprise in Omaha that Kansas is only a 4-point favorite here? I guess it opened at 4.
It does seem low.
Been out to 4.5. That at first glance, I know that seems like a public trap. Yeah,
the biggest two public bets right now, as far as public money or amount of money compared to bets, is the ones that look way too good to be true, and it's Kansas and Kentucky by about 5.5. Kentucky, of course, in
Hotline. I would put Villanova in that conversation.
Kentucky,
too. Nova only 5.5 is a little bit in that conversation.
Yeah, they're all like 5.5, aren't they?
Yeah.
But Nova in Boston, Kentucky down in Atlanta, and then Kansas to Omaha. I can't imagine that's terribly far.
No, it's very close. It's interesting. Clemson obviously looked like world beaters against Auburn. Auburn really kind of just no-showed in that game, I felt like, more than Clemson really.
I agree with that.
They underperformed in the ACC tournament. They've had a nice, they've put together a pretty nice season overall, I thought, Clemson, outside of a few stinkers here and there. This could be a tricky game for Kansas. Looking at the total, it looks awfully high. I bet Kansas against Seton Hall, and that was about 4.5 as well. And that was a disappointment. Maybe this is the right number. Maybe Kansas gets by again by the skin of their teeth. But I'm almost certainly going to be betting Clemson at 4.5, especially, and probably under 143 in this one. If I could just have Clemson, Duke, and a little bit of that is like stress free. Duke takes care of Clemson in going away in that game if we get there. And
good luck with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know I'm setting myself up for some pretty spectacular go back and listen to this part of the podcast. If I could just
get Nevada in the final against Radford.
I just want a Clemson upset. Just give me one Clemson upset. Those guys stay out too late celebrating. They think they give Duke the run for their money, and Duke runs them out of the gym on their way to another Final Four. That will be an outstanding weekend for your boy. And you know what else I would like? And this is going to be against your play here and against your future and your bracket, but I like West Virginia for the upset, man. This team, this West Virginia team, this defense, Huggy Bear, he's my guy. This is the third of three Final Four teams that I have that are still alive. Yeah, this is a trap here. They set this line at -5. It got bet out to 5.5 with pretty heavy public support. Something like 80% of the money that's been counted at the offshores is in on Nova so far. Here we have this thing set up for a perfect West Virginia comes out, flummoxes them with their defense. Nova hasn't played anyone that plays particularly good defense, especially anywhere near the caliber of West Virginia, in a long time. Their schedule has been kind of a who's who of teams that give up hundreds of points. So this is going to be interesting, man. And I like West Virginia to as a live dog here. I like them big time.
You got something to shake my confidence? A little bit. You know, Radford is a top 20 scoring defense in the league, in the nation, by the way.
What? They are?
Stop yeah, Radford only... Defense.
The Radford? Teams they play are terrible. What's their no?
Well, I know. I'm just fucking. I was just looking at this, but they only gave up 6-4 games.
Their Ken
Palm
adjusted defenses. There's no way they're in the top 40. But
oh no, I'm sure. I just pulled up points per game to laugh at that because I thought I saw them. I know what you're saying with the defenses. Maybe the Big East defenses. Obviously, the Big East defenses are not West Virginia. But a defense is a defense, and, you know, fuck-ups are fuck-ups. Villanova is top 15 in the nation for fewest turnovers. And that West Virginia offense is predicated on turnovers. And if they are not turning over Villanova, they're not going to score, and they're not going to keep up with that offense. If they can't trap them, if they can't get easy turnovers and easy fast-break buckets, Nova wins by 20. I mean, it's all going to come down to – is Nova, you know, you didn't see them play a good defense, but does it mean they can't?
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
They're a very talented team. I worry about that one. I won't be betting. I like what you're saying, but I don't think I can bet West Virginia. I do have West Virginia in we did an open draw, just random, you get two random teams for $50. So if West Virginia moved on, I'd get my money back on that one from going to the Elite Eight.
What percentage? We'd be cheering for those. You know, I forgot to ask you this when we were doing the March Madness pod, preview pod. Do you do one bracket in all of the pools you enter, or do you mix it up?
I used one in two different pools. Otherwise, I mix it up. I really regret using that one twice.
What do you have?
Who's well, your, who's like, your it's like a Cincinnati, North Carolina Final Four.
Oh, no.
Brutal. No. At least I had Michigan State losing.
That's good. Who do you like?
It's like Nova Duke on the other side.
Do you have Nova in most of your brackets?
I have Nova winning almost all my brackets.
Okay, so you're heavy on Nova. Okay. All right. Well, Mountaineers for me. Let's go pull off the upset for Huggy Bear. Big 12 represent. I mean, actually, I guess my perception of.
I think a Big 12 team moves into the Elite Eight in that region.
You like Texas Tech over Purdue?
I do.
Wow. No kidding. I was shocked that Texas Tech's defense is as highly rated as it is. Ken Palm adjusted D. They're number 4 in the nation, which is the second of all teams that are still alive right now. So that could be interesting, man. You think and Purdue? I mean, Purdue doesn't. They're not that. I mean, their offense is outstanding. This is a great matchup of strength versus strength. But Purdue, do we know if Haas is gone?
I mean, if the NCAA doesn't let him, which was honestly, I didn't bet the game. I did. I took Butler. Hey, that was one of my. That's the highlight of the weekend. Getting Butler +3.5. But I've forgotten about that. But that was kind of horse shit with the.
The elbow brace.
They didn't let him. I don't know. I didn't see what it was, and if it's against the rules, if it's safety, whatever. But also, I watched him warm up. He didn't look like he could play. I don't think he'll play. I heard somebody even said, I can't remember who said it, but they said maybe he shouldn't play. Just he might be a little too slow. Texas Tech does look like a quick team.
Interesting. Okay. Texas Tech. I like that. That would be a fun one. It would be fun if that was, you know what? I mean, if I'm putting together my dream matchups here, I would love an all ACC battle for the Midwest and an all Big 12 battle for the East. That would be sweet. If West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke make the Final Four, I think I win almost every single pool I entered. So go ahead and cross all of them off, possibly going to the Final Four. And I will have had so much false hope this week that it's out of control. Yeah, Texas Tech, great look, man. Short line, -1.5. So if you're going to back them, might as well back them on the money line. It looks like about +105 right now. Most of the public likes Purdue. So another kind of one that fits the system there. Interestingly enough, this is probably a good look for an under, given that Texas Tech's defense is as good as they are, and Purdue might have some issues with the availability of some of their most important offensive pieces. At 137 might be a little bit high. Any other looks that you've kind of zeroed in on the totals so far? I think you nailed it on that Nevada over. That Nevada over.
It's the Nevada over.
That Nevada over is too good to be true at 143.5, I think.
I stay away from totals in general. I stay away from the totals a lot. Like, I think the only one I played with that South Dakota State, Ohio State over. That was the only – and that actually – that was on great pace. And then I think it got a little dicey at the end, but it came through. I think it went through at least. So, I like the Nevada one. Otherwise, I haven't really dug into the other ones. I could see an under where you just said there with Purdue, but I'll poke around in there. Who knows? I don't have to bet them all. You do.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I did not do well on the picks that I placed out there this weekend, but thank God I was only betting. It was funny, though, because, like, I was on the wrong side of a lot of half-point, one-point losses against the spread. And I would go on a little mini run where I'd win like 4 or 5 in a row. And then I'd be like, man, shit, why didn't I bet like bigger on this? Cause I was only betting 0.1 unit. Basically I was betting $10 a game, for all of these, just to have a little bit of something fun going on while I was watching all this. And, I'd go on a little bit of a heater and I'd be like, this is great, man. I should have been betting more. And then I would lose like 6 in a row, all by a bunch by 0.5. So it was a roller coaster.
We've got, and this isn't live, so this is going to be dated, but I just am dying here. I didn't bet it. I was going to. And then the whole DeRozan news, the Raptors are favored by 9 after the news, or 11 earlier. They were losing by 7 or 8. Maybe more. Seven. Are you seeing this?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
The Magic. Oh, they hit a 3. The Magic had 4 points in the fourth quarter with 1:20 remaining.
They pulled the all time tank stop, like throw the brick.
Hardest of tanks.
I know. I can't believe they hit that 3 because I got the news before. I had the bet in before the DeRozan news on the Raptors, and I am looking like I'm going to take an L here after all of this ridiculousness, which is really too bad.
Which side are you on? The wrong side or the?
I'm on the wrong side. Yeah, I had the Raptors before I knew DeRozan was going to be out. But hey, they're fouling. What the hell? This NBA is so crazy right now. Let's talk about the NBA a little bit.
Let's bounce over to the association.
Yeah. I've been on a little bit of a heater here on NBA. I'm pretty stoked. Tonight excluded. Looking pretty weak tonight. But had a lot of winning days lately. I've been having a lot of stress-free winners. And there's, the NBA lines in general are usually tight as hell, especially down the stretch when we have just a mountain of data on these teams and you can get pretty good projected score, totals and sides. And so I'm pretty psyched right now that we got some good winners coming in. The matchups that we're looking at here for the playoffs, I am like, I adore these matchups. There look like we are going to get some great stuff in the East. Although some disappointing news about the Celtics floating around there. You want to start there?
Yeah, the Kyrie entry, that's not sounding good. I mean, nothing's out officially, but there's rumblings of shutting him down for the year.
What would you do if you're the Celtics?
I'd shut him down for the year.
You're ready to just play for 2019?
Yeah, I mean, just the injuries they've had. If they get all three guys back, the Smarts and the who's the slick-haired kid that hasn't played since first, Hayward.
Yeah.
If you get everybody back and healthy, make a hard run. I mean, it could be if you're missing Kyrie and you're missing those guys, I don't know if you can do much damage against seven games against the Cavs or the Raptors right now. Probably get them right. Try to get that knee right for next year, which sucks because you know your window isn't forever, and the fans and everybody wants it right now. But you probably should just do the right thing.
Do you think Giannis just says shut him down, and he does have the voice of the people. You think if Kyrie's out, if they're without Kyrie, Smart, Hayward, and the center, the guy that's out for the season, that was a Theus or whatever. If they're without that, you know, those key players, are they beating Miami round one? I mean, it looks like they're going to draw Miami as the 2-7 matchup. Which would be pretty interesting. Miami might be able to take them down. That would be fascinating. Boston, obviously, right now, they'll get Jaylen Brown back. But between Brown and Tatum, they'll be a formidable team in the Garden. But I could see Miami figuring out a way to win that in 6 or 7. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. Right now, Boston. I was looking at the prices today. If all of this is true, if there really is no Kyrie for the Celtics in the playoffs, completely write them off for winning the East, in my opinion. And right now you can bet not Celtics to win the East at about -425 or so. Did you see that?
Yeah, put that together with the Vikings to win the Super Bowl and evens out.
Or just put that in an open parlay and like save it for a rainy day with some other interesting pieces. If this is true, because -400 implies what, like 80% or something like that chance that they don't win. And if they don't have Kyrie, then that should be more like 0%. So I don't know. It should be more like 98 probably.
What was the odds again?
-430 when I looked earlier today. Has it moved?
Yeah, that's an 81% implied probability.
81%, yeah. So it should be more like 98 if Kyrie is done for the season. So that's something interesting to look for there. I would take we're talking about Toronto and playing kind of a shitty game here against the Magic. Without DeRozan. DeRozan and Lowry together right now are clicking on all cylinders. Toronto has a very real chance at winning the East. I know we're going to get into an Eastern Conference Finals between Toronto and Cleveland. People are going to say, you know, it's going to be Toronto's going to have home court. People are going to say, hey, this isn't your last couple years Toronto's team that got summarily dismissed by the Cavaliers in the playoffs, and the Cavaliers have one of the worst defensive teams of any 40-win team to this point in the season that I can remember, and they're not going to be able just to flip a switch and play better defense. They changed their coach last weekend. They have absolutely horrendous guard play. It's a weird thing going on in Cleveland. Do I think when the time comes I'll eventually be...
They got rid of LeBron?
Well, he's a forward, but their guard.
You said coach. I was confused.
Oh, right. Well,
the assistant Lou.
The assistant coach.
In all seriousness, if he's having like health issues, I hope he gets better. But I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but like he got his ass chewed by LeBron, and then 2 days later, he's taking a leave for medical issues. Maybe getting your ass chewed by LeBron gives you panic attacks. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Cleveland will probably draw Philadelphia round one. That'll be a fun series. Good to see what Embiid's got looking in the playoffs. Playoff Embiid could be interesting. Ben Simmons, man, boy, has he impressed this year. I don't know if he's going to win. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year over Mitchell, even though that's a coin flip in a lot of people's minds. I think they'll probably give it to Simmons just because he's been such a huge part of that team and their success. And East Coast bias. I don't know how many people are watching a lot of the Utah games and how they realize the impact Mitchell had over the portion of the season where they did not have Rudy Gobert, how important Mitchell was. But Cleveland Philly could be a fantastic series. Indy Washington will be interesting as well. Will we see John Wall again? Does Oladipo have playoff chops? These are going to be fascinating questions as we round into the NBA's playoffs. I'm super excited. I'm excited for Toronto Milwaukee. That's going to be a great series.
I am excited for that one.
I love Giannis. I'd love to see him in the playoffs.
Yeah. No idea what's going to line up in the West. We can't even make any speculation there.
No. I guess right
Rockets now. Rockets 1, Warriors 2, and then the rest is whatever.
Anybody's
probably guess. Probably Blazers in there at 3.
Anybody's guess. What do you think? Who do you think? I guess Clippers, Denver. Any chance you give any chance that these two teams make it into the playoffs? The Clippers are the coldest of the teams contending right now.
Yeah, they're ice cold right now. I think the Nuggets have a better shot at it. Just looking at.
You got a little bit of a de facto playoff game going on right now.
Yeah.
With the Clippers and the T-Wolves, 58-59 at halftime. That's fucking cool. Minnesota sits in the 8 right now, although with the win, they would jump up to about 6. Clippers with a loss tonight. Oh, gosh. There's still 10 games left, so a lot could happen. But that might be the one that keeps them out if they lose this game. I'm going to probably be live betting the under in the fourth quarter of this one, especially if it keeps up at the pace they've been playing through three quarters, because the intensity and the seriousness and importance of this game is going to grind scoring in the fourth quarter, I believe. That's one of my favorite angles to play in the NBA, by the way, when you have a really important, meaningful game that's being played relatively loose, relatively low, relatively high paced, relatively low defensive efficiency through three quarters. I get on the fourth quarter. I bet live under in the fourth quarter as one of my favorite looks. Minnesota Clippers live under fourth quarter. That'll be helpful to everyone who listens to this tomorrow.
Just looking at the so Denver, I'm going to just declare Denver DOA. They have fewer home games by 2 than the three team, two fewer home games than the Clippers and the Wolves. And they are 11-23 on the road. That's just not going to work out for them. They need to be playing. They need to have like you have games in hand in hockey and whatnot. Like they need to have like 4 extra home games at this point if they want to make any jumps up to the 8th spot. The Timberwolves aren't great on the road either, but they've only played 35 home games, so they have 6 rather than 4. I don't see them even with the injuries. I don't know if I can see the Pelicans dropping all the way down and getting jumped by the Clippers or the Nuggets. It might just sit how it sits.
Yeah.
The Wolves, I think if the Wolves win a game or two, they're like the 4th or the 5 seed just because they're like a half game behind the Spurs. Or they're a full game behind the Spurs and the 5 seed. So the 5 to the 8 is a full game difference in 4 teams.
Denver's also in trouble with the injury to Gary Harris. He's like their best two-way guard by far, and sounds like they're not going to have him the next couple games. So bet some overs in the Denver games coming up. If you see Gary Harris out, over in Denver is a great look. What do you make of the top of the West? You got a new contender here in Portland as they have grabbed this 3 seed and are holding on for dear life. They have won 13 games in a row. They played the West leading Houston Rockets tonight in Portland, which could be a pretty compelling, pretty compelling matchup. Could be our second round playoff matchup if Portland slides down to the four seed. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think Portland's going to hold on and outlast Oklahoma City for that, for that division title. What division is that? The South? No, they're the Northwest. They might. I think they'll win the Northwest over Oklahoma City. Although it's going to be damn close. What do you make of the top of the West? You think you're pretty convinced it's still two teams that have a chance of going to the finals?
I don't know anymore, man. The Dame and the Blazers. That's just super impressive to all of a sudden rattle off 13 like that. If you want to get hot at the right time, it's maybe the time to do it is when there's 10 games left this season. Just rip someone's a-hole up in the first round, and if they're the three seed, they would be a very compelling second round matchup four games down the coast a ways.
Yeah, I don't love their matchup against Golden State. That's probably bad news for Portland. Golden State has gotten a look at what they have. You know, there's not enough new about the Portland strategy that Golden State hasn't seen in the playoffs in crunch time that I think they won't have answers for. The Golden State also, their ability to switch on defense when Durant's on the floor is going to give Portland absolute nightmares scoring in crunch time. Golden State, to me, I think the worse they look, the more games they punt here while they're recovering from these injuries, the more their price drifts comes back to earth here, the happier I am to continue to add to my position on them to win the title. I don't make a lot out of the people who are hand-wringing and saying, has this team lost focus? Has this team, do they have, what do they have to play for? Have they conceded too much in terms of giving up home field advantage, giving up home court advantage to the Rockets here? I don't think that's going to matter. I think they beat the Rockets in six on their own court. I think come playoff time, if these guys are healthy, and from what I'm hearing, digging around, doesn't sound like these injuries are super concerning long term.
That is the thing. They're beat up right now, and everyone sees that, but it does sound like everyone's coming back.
It's going to take bad.
The balls was just special for me. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That's just, like I said a couple times, poetic justice. It wasn't on purpose. Like, now Zaza Pachulia just needs to get accidentally scissor kicked in the face for the NBA to be at rest. But
yeah,
it's like there's going to be some great matchups. There's some good teams down the way. But doesn't it just feel like Raptors, Cavs, Rockets, Warriors, the final four?
Yeah, especially
if the Celtics, if they shut Kyrie down, then I think it's Raptors, Cavs. Even though it's weird looking at the standings sometimes. You got to separate yourself from that a little and look at the fact that the Pacers are, one half game worse than the Cavs right now. It's very tight. Even in the East, there's a bit of tightness there from 3-8. That sure did snug up. Who knows who's going to play who? We got 10 games. Doesn't matter. We're calling it. Ooh, should I put the Raptors in the finals? I think the Raptors are going to. I just feel like. Yeah, I feel like they might be blowing their wad, even though they are doing it with backups and resting guys. Just got too hot too early.
They peaked too early.
You can say that
about the Rockets too.
Yeah, you're gonna get Cavs Warriors again.
It does feel like that.
Ugh.
That's the matchup I would bet if I had to pick one, and I think it's over plus 200 right now for that matchup. Do you see the idea of five dimes open?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll have that open during the game. So.
Oh yeah, you know what? They closed. They did close it. Yeah. It was open earlier today, but it's gone now.
Maybe future.
Well, yeah, there's no way it's open with the Raptors playing and everything. Here's one.
Trey Young draft position over under 8.5.
Do you have a prediction?
I don't. I think he should go higher, but or lower rather, higher number. I'm looking. Boy, that Pacers. Here's one. If you think the Cavs, maybe take a peek at the Cavs and the Pacers. Because like I said, the Pacers are a half game back, having played an extra game on the Cavs. The Cavs are not in action tonight.
Neither one.
That's plus 285 for Indiana to win the Central Division. I'm gonna have to look at both of their schedules from here on out. There might be a little value there.
That would make the whole playoff path much more interesting.
It takes is that another three game swoon from the Cavs, and if the Pacers can just rattle off 6-7 out of the last 9. I might have to look at that. But yeah, you're right. There's nothing up right now. So that moves up. Should we move over to a completely different sport?
Yeah, let's talk tennis. Let's talk tennis, man. Did you enjoy the Indian Wells final?
Juan Martín del Potro wins his first
Masters title.
Oh. No, I didn't enjoy that part.
Oh, yeah. I didn't either. I had a photo feature that went up in smoke when he blew 2 match points. Or 3. He might have blown 3.
As most of you listening to NCAA brackets, we do tennis brackets. Not that I don't do NCAA brackets, but we've just it's new with this. Like, we've done them just for fun in the past, but we're doing cash game tennis brackets on tennisdrawchallenge.com. You can do every single men's and women's tournament all year long if you want. We're just doing the big ones, but I would have won the bracket if Federer had been able to hold on, so that was kind of sad. I did take a little tiny bit of Juan Martín del Potro just to even that up for me, so I didn't even it up exactly. I still would have won more if Fed won, but it was okay, I guess. I made a little money, pay for my Miami entry, which that's what we're going to talk about. Another 1,000 Masters, big time money tournament.
Let me circle back on Indian Wells just to put a bow on this. I was with you and looking for a Federer win. He had 3 looks at match point in the third set. He was serving for the match after basically the third set went pretty predictably on serve. Each guy was in absolute in the zone on serve, and it got to 5-4 Federer. 4-4 Federer, and Federer finally broke through against Del Potro's serve, which meant he could serve for the match, went up 40-15, blew 2 match points, had a third match point from Deuce later in the game, eventually got broken back to 5-5. It went to tiebreak, and Del Potro just absolutely smoked through the tiebreak, broke mini break 3 times against Federer's serve, finally clinched on his second look at match point. This is the second biggest win of Del Potro's career. He is a previous major winner. He won the U.S. Open, 5, 6 years ago? Maybe longer, actually. He was a U.S. Open champ back in the day, then had injured his wrist, spent about a year and a half, 2 years out of the sport recovering from wrist surgery. Wrist injuries in tennis are a big fucking deal, and the fact that he's come back to play at the highest level is flat out amazing. He's a great guy by all accounts. He's a fan favorite. He's a good guy to cheer for. He's 29 years old. He is at the very tail end of his prime, and he is going to be someone to watch out for through the summer, through the fall, to continue to rack up major wins. And when I say major, I'm thinking, yes, I like him to win one of the slams that we come across here. Probably not the French Open on clay, because he does not move well enough on clay, play well enough on clay. The length of the games is going to grind him down. But between Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, the likelihood that he picks up another slam title this year, I think, is very good, especially with the state of the top of the ATP. flip that on its
all
head.
All the guys that'll be missing from some of these tournaments coming in. Yeah. I can agree. I love Del Potro.
As a guy. Yeah.
If you go way back, it seems like maybe it's just some of the ones that are more fresh in the memory. There's matches I've had a lot more fun watching, but, and it's silly because it's not even the tour, but the Olympic final with him and Murray.
Oh, that was so good. That was awesome.
And his fans were turning it into like a soccer match. I mean, there were some nuts ass fans. And yeah, I mean, I think it only went four, didn't it? But still, he put up a hell of a fight. When Andy Murray was still good.
He lost 3-1. I won a lot of money.
That's where I fell in love with him.
Yeah. That was spectacular. He had a great run at the U.S. Open last year as well. It's taken him a really long time to get his physical fitness back. For whatever reason, he's a huge guy, but he does look absolutely top form right now. Peak fitness. It's going to be – I don't have high hopes for him heading into Miami. I don't have high hopes for Federer either. In one sense, like, there's going to be kind of a general feel like, come on, let's give us a rematch. Like, this was hands down the best tennis match of the year, the Indian Wells final, just because of quality of play, quality of opponents, and kind of meaningfulness of the match. Like, this was a big freaking match, and it was very exciting. And there's going to be a lot of people who are like, we want a rematch of that in Miami. Federer is the defending champion in Miami. He has won Miami several times. And even though it's a little bit slower court, Federer tends to play very well here. If I could find Field over Federer, however, I would bet that in a heartbeat. I also like Field over Del Potro. I don't think either of these guys is going to have the juice to make a run in Miami. These two tournaments are too close together. Federer looks like he is flagging right now, I have to say. I'm nervous about him. He needs a break. He looks like he has shot all of his bullets already to this point. This is something that happens with a lot of these players when they make this push to get back to world number one. We saw Federer reclaim world number one in Rotterdam. It's basically on the line every one of these tournaments because he's defending, winning, you know, tournament championships from last year, week in, week out. And I think it's wearing on him. I think he's having issues with his back. We heard a lot of whispers about he wasn't quite fully fit as Indian Wells wound down. Do you have any opinions on Federer in Miami? Do you think he is most likely? Is he fairly priced? He's about the same odds as Indian Wells, about even odds heading into the tournament.
Wouldn't touch it. He does look like he's maybe time caught up with him a little. He had a hell of a run. Nobody ever thought he'd have the run he had the last year and a half here, and it was. I'm choking up here. It was special. But just looking at the outright prices, I can't back him or JMDP at plus 450. And then, I mean, just if you want to talk, I agree. Like, just in a nutshell, I agree with you. And I think it's somebody else's tournament. I think going down the line, you could find some much bigger value in kind of the next tier of guys. Kevin Anderson has a decent draw. I like if Federer goes out early, Kevin Anderson, I think, has a pretty fairly open draw where he would have to get past, like, Burdich and who would come out. Maybe, you know, if Federer doesn't come out of that top section there.
Who does?
Mannarino.
Somebody crazy.
Tennis Sandgren. So I like Kevin Anderson at 40-1. I think he could get out of that quarter. I like Key.
You're gonna get involved on Key, huh?
I feel like he's back. Maybe Key's I shouldn't back, do that huh? one. Maybe well, I shouldn't Key, do that. The Key, injury concern ones. He's such a tryhard. Oh,
he's a Florida guy too. He's been like hanging out in Florida, and resting up, prepping for this tournament. That's not crazy. It really isn't. I like Key to make it to round four here, where he gets beat by Milos Raonic in the quarterfinal.
Same price. All those guys. We're just naming all the guys that are 40-1.
Yeah. That, and if I'm gonna grab a flyer on Raonic, I think that I think he grabs his first Masters title here. It impressed me that he was able to play Indian Wells with he looked
with in his shape. Big fat face.
With his big fat face. He in Australia, he was the easiest round one fade I've seen in a long time. He showed up in Australia in January, fat as fuck. And he got run in round one against Lachko, who is not a good tennis player. And he did nothing all season up until Indian Wells. And then he shows up in Indian Wells. And he was making crazy-ass shots. Did you see any of his play in Indian Wells?
He was good.
See any of the, of the matches he played?
He was good.
I was shocked.
Wait, I mean, beat, I guess
Query. That was
when's,
the query.
When's the last time you've seen him play that good? I was trying to think back.
I can't recall. I really can't recall. It like maybe Wimbledon 2 years ago. I'm gonna say like when he made his run and lost to Andy Murray in the finals of Wimbledon in 2016. I think was the last time I saw him look that interested in tennis, that fresh. That kind of spontaneous with some of the shots that he was making. He was doing some crazy shit. I saw him try a tweener at one point. I didn't know he had the flexibility to even make a, you know, to attempt a tweener, but he got one in. You know, his play was surprising to me. And I think the people kind of are underpricing him still based on, you know, kind of how bad he looked not that long ago. His draw is easy. He's in this little section here with Schwartzman, who plays poorly in Miami. Dimitrov plays poorly in the United States outside of his one Masters title in Cincinnati. And Dimitrov is a streaky player right now. Masters. Right now he is on a losing streak. Dimitrov, if there's one guy that I have on upset alert in round two, it's Dimitrov to either Martyr or Fuchs. Probably Fuchs, I guess. I'm probably gonna have him pull off the upset there. Raonic makes round four here easily in my mind, where he likely plays the winner of Nishikori, Djokovic maybe. I don't know what to make of Djokovic. He looked so bad against Taro Daniel in the upset against Indian Wells. I'm not going anywhere near backing him.
Little Philly Krajinovic.
Filip Krajinovic.
Krajinovic. I'm not great with his name.
Krajinovic.
Krajinovic, you want to throw? I never know what the J is, but
Krajinovic
seated. Look at him, or qualifier 9 and 10. I'm just looking at the bracket; it's not filled in yet with the qualies, but yeah, that whole section is kind of weak. If you want to fade Del Potro,
yeah, and I do. I mean, as much as I do too. This is he's not backing this up. That run was special in Indian Wells. That title was special. I've seen enough social media of him celebrating to know that it's going to be nearly impossible for him to raise himself to that level again so soon. I think we see Del Potro take a little bit of a kind of a regroup here until we get onto grass. Although, you know, maybe he tries to make a little bit of a noise in one of the clay tournaments like Madrid or something where it's a little bit faster. And he's not as at risk of getting worn down with injury. I think Del Potro is somebody we want to circle back on and start backing again in the summer through the fall. He's gonna bow out early in this one, I gotta guess. And we see first time winner Milos Raonic of Canada come out of the bottom half. Not a popular play.
Yeah. What do you have any? If you had to pick a longer shot, do you have anybody with some value? Maybe some hedging value or something
like that. Boy, you know, I guess what qualifies as a longer shot? Because you know we're
50, 60 to one on up. I mean,
yeah, okay, yeah,
which is like that 10th best guy.
Yeah, I guess Chung doesn't count as a long shot, right? Our guy.
No, all the value is gone out of the Chung. If you back a Chung future this year, if you back Chung again, you're just chasing your tail now.
Yeah,
that would be a silly move, Kelly.
Yeah, I could see.
He already has, I'm sure.
I like Kyle Edmund let us down in Indian Wells, and
yeah,
a lot of that was rust in round one. I thought he played really well in Miami last year. I'll never forget he was getting his he should have gotten past Donaldson easily, and he kind of had a mental breakdown that ended his tournament in Miami last year. I think he plays better this year. He was an interesting look at 80-1. He's in Fed's quarter, so people probably assume that run ends at best in the quarterfinal. But we've seen him beat Kevin Anderson, and I do think Kevin Anderson is your round four matchup there. And then if Federer's been bounced before the quarterfinal, Edmund's got a great look at getting to the semis. Even if he doesn't, I would like to see what Edmund versus Federer looks like, because, I mean, Federer's not playing with as much power. He's not playing, as the Federer of 1 year ago. So I could see Edmund at 80-1 be a nice little look.
How do we feel about Sasha right now? I'm looking at that quarter right now, and you've got Sasha, who I want to fade, big fat Jack Sock, who I want to fade in singles at least. Chorich, Zoom Zoom,
fade.
Sam, Fabio,
fade.
I mean, Nick. I don't know. I mean, if his girl keeps winning.
Yeah, if you're making me pick someone, I go Nick on the basis of he tried in Miami last year, so maybe he tries. He did,
and that's where I was going with that. He had a nice Miami.
He was great. He was really great. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 33-1. That's
I forgot who I like. I like you know who I like to make a little noise out of the Shep? Second quarter? Shep. Yeah. Dennis Shapovalov. The Canadian kid. He underwhelmed in Indian Wells, and he hasn't necessarily since he made an amazing run in his Masters 1000 Canada debut last year, and I think that I see enough similarities with that Montreal court and this court. I think you're going to be, I think he's going to feel at home. I like the way Shapovalov played at Delray Beach, which was a couple of tournaments ago. Similar conditions down in Florida. And this is a good setup for him. I like him to get by Troike is a good warm up match. He's not on upset alert there. Zoomer is ripe to get upset against Shapovalov. Actually, Shapovalov is probably gonna be favored against Zoomer, to be honest. And then at that point, you're talking about Sam Querrey, who I think he can beat. He's moving so much better than Sam Querrey is right now. And then you're talking about Chorich or Sock. Shapovalov, I think, gets to the quarterfinal here as an unseeded player, where he takes on Nick Kyrgios, probably. And I'll give it to Kyrgios just because he will have played a little bit less, and he's a little bit more talented. And we'll see how that goes.
He's very talented. He's just a mental case.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of those in tennis, sports. What's in general.
Did you see a price on Shapovalov? Is he about 100-1?
Oh, yeah, looking at 150. I got 250-1.
250-1. Okay, I'm gonna sprinkle some Shapovalov. I'm gonna sprinkle some Edmund.
Yep, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with full. You know, like I'll go quarter units on Nick, Kevin, and Key, and then maybe half of that on some Kyle Edmund, and then some real tiny bets on Shap, and you know what? I'm gonna put like $5 on Fuchs.
Who do you think comes out of the fourth
500,
quarter?
500-1. Fuchsovic.
We didn't talk about the fourth quarter. Any chance 100-1?
Chilich.
You're okay. Chilich plays really poorly in this time of year in these tournaments in America for whatever reason. Yeah. He's the rest season. Like,
there's rumors that our Belgian friend might be out.
Gauffin
might be out. Chung, yeah, that really helps the Chung future.
It does. It helps Chung a lot.
Terrible price.
What do you think of Rublev? Rublev does something.
My eyes just went right there.
Yeah, same.
If Chilich is playing shitty, he has to get past a serve bot and a garbage Canadian right there. And then possibly Chilich may be out already to
Fritzy.
Herbert or Fritzy. And
Fritzy played some pretty spectacular tennis in Indian Wells, but that's his home court, so it's tough to say if that translates to Miami.
He could make a run out of there. Mueller's elbow still worries me. And then he had, if you go up that Guido and Jerry Vesely.
Yeah, there's some
Lacko.
Yeah. Oh, Vesely.
The Colonel.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
RBA.
There's some really bad tennis players that got into this tournament with all the withdrawals.
Yeah.
All right. So, official predictions. Who's your final four in the Miami Open?
Okay, we got to go back and look. Top quarter, Kando, Kevin Anderson. Second quarter, we're just going to – we'll go Schaap.
Schaap. Damn right.
Key Nishikori and I'll just Chung, whatever.
Chung, okay. All right, I'm going to go full-on chaos, world of chaos here. I'm going to put Edmund.
Schaap in?
I'm going to put Edmund, Schaap. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go Edmund and Kyrgios. I don't think Schaap gets by Kyrgios. Kyrgios is too damn good on serve. We're going to go Edmund, Kyrgios, Milos Raonic, and Rublev. And my final is going to be Milos over Kyrgios. And a Canadian takes his first title in the Masters 1000s. And people around the tennis community groan who hate Raonic. But I will take home the Miami bracket pool. And and my 33-1 ticket on Milos. Who do you think wins?
Yeah, I'm not down with that. it may be part, is there a bias in here where it's just I hate him?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I could do worse. I could have made Milos Isner.
Would it surprise you if Federer just was maybe a little under the weather and he comes out and blows through the field again?
Yeah,
that wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't surprise me either. I just something's up. You remember seeing him when he lost to this feels like last summer, Federer, when he lost to Zverev in Montreal and then turned around and didn't play Cincinnati. Like, if Federer surprise withdraws, I'm not going to be surprised. If Federer surprise loses, to someone early here because of his back injury, I'm not going to be surprised. I will be floored if Federer sweeps this field, to be honest, just because his at the end of that Del Potro match, he was on fumes. Like, he had no power. He was not getting anywhere near the ball speed that we saw from him in Australia and in Rotterdam. The guy is ailing right now, and if he wins, it's because the other guys got out of the way. It's not because he plays his best tennis.
Here's a fun with your shitty prediction. fun trivia fact: who is the last Canadian to win an ATP World Tour Masters 1000?
Oh my god, dude! How many has there ever been one?
No, so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it only goes back. I'm only looking back to 09 here. I'm only looking back to 09 when they called it that. But you can go to the Masters series, back to 04. It didn't.
This year,
what was it? The Mercedes-Benz Super 9.
Yeah. You know what this year feels like to me in the ATP? It feels like 2010. Do you remember that year, or do you have that year pulled up on Masters 1000?
I was going to say, I'm looking at it.
Masters, that was when Lubicic won his first. He won his first ever Masters 1000 in Indian Wells. Roddick won his first ever in Miami.
Then Rafa went.
Rafa went right
on Europe.
Yep. I feel like this year is going to play out.
Who won Paris that year?
I have no idea.
Who Swedish did? Swedish fella.
Soderling?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
That I know that. Jeez. Out of all of them, that's the weird one to me, I guess.
Well, that and last year's sock. Sock won Paris last year. Like, how ridiculous is that? Good lordy. There's two Americans who have won Masters 1000s, right? Roddick and Sock. Good lord, we suck. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go back a ways into the. I mean, you go look at the 90s when it was the championship series or whatever they called it. Yeah. And boy, we owned Indian Wells in Miami for half a decade there.
Yeah.
Courier Chang, Sampras, Agassi, Chang.
I guess, and of the Americans.
And Cincinnati, too. Jesus, ran Cincinnati.
Of the Americans, we may be selling Sam Querrey a little bit short. I had heard rumors after he lost to Raonic that he got hurt in that match. Did you hear anything on that? Am I making that up?
I didn't hear anything? I didn't hear anything.
Okay, so Sambo maybe if in fine health. Okay. We may be selling him. We may be selling short on Sam because he played, other than that loss to Raonic, which was, in my opinion, both players played well. Raonic just stepped his game to a level that Sam did not have at the key moments in the match. But other than that, I thought Sam played really well in Indian Wells. And he may play really well again here in Miami. Americans generally play well in America. Go figure. So of the Americans, if there was one I had to kind of give a second look to, I'd probably look to Sam. But I want to back Chapo, which means I want to bounce Sam in round three. And, yeah. How about an all-Canada final? Can we get a Chapo-Raonic
needs
final
that.
Here? No one wants
that. And I like Chap.
No one wants that. So. Even our Canadian friends would probably be like, oh. Maybe they'd be happy. Okay. Well, let's wrap up this pod. Great job, man. This was a lot of fun. Have a great time in the Turks and Caicos. I know you're feeling totally – you must be feeling totally ripe to go spend time on a beach in the sun.
Vegas was cold. I need to get down to the Caribbean, I guess.
And, get your tan on. I just
checked with Verizon. I have phone service down there, so I might have to call in Sunday afternoon after the games or Sunday evening.
Oh, perfect.
Instead of doing our reaction pod on freaking Tuesday night. You know, everybody rushed to get those out, and we let those results kind of wash over us a little.
That's right, man.
Just absorb it all. You don't want to make knee-jerk judgments.
Let it marinate.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, man. Great pod. Have fun.
I dig it. We'll talk soon. And
do some good gambling down there. Do some snorkeling. Do some swimming. Do some get your nightlife on with the wifey and. Have a wonderful weekend. Win some bets, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
All right, see you.
Bye.